In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus once told a parable in which there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. How this man became a judge with such a positive outlook on life is beyond my comprehension, but for the purposes of Jesus' parable, it works. As it happened, there was also a woman in it who sought justice against an adversary. She sought relief by way of the judge. He may not fear God nor respect man, but perhaps he may respect the law. He is a judge, after all. At first, he did not, and even for a while he refused, but the woman, a widow, persisted. Eventually, the judge relented, being wearied by the persistence of the widow. The widow was granted justice. Jesus said, "And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" If such an unrighteous judge will answer the persistence of one who pleads to him, will not God do so more fervently, who loves justice in everything that he has created? But will the Son of Man find faith on earth when he comes? Having come, the Son of Man is traveling in the region of Tyre and Sidon. That was Gentile territory, full of unbelievers and those who looked upon the Jews with disdain, though not all of them were like that. Jesus and his disciples encountered a Canaanite woman. She pleaded with Jesus for her daughter. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Here was a Canaanite woman, a Gentile, pleading with the Messiah of the Jews and even using his messianic title. And how did Jesus respond? Silence. His disciples urged Jesus to send the woman away. She, like the widow in the parable, was pestering them, or so they felt. She had only entreated Jesus once so far, but that one time was enough for the 12. She was crying out after them. They couldn't be bothered by a Gentile woman. "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And how did Jesus respond? "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." That didn't stop the Canaanite woman. She was determined to get help for her demon-oppressed daughter. So she cried out to Jesus again, using a messianic title again, and kneeling before him, "Lord, help me." And how did Jesus respond? "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The Canaanite woman is undeterred. She knew her status compared to the children of Israel. She was but a dog compared to them and God's chosenness of them. "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Remember, however, that God hates nothing that he has created. And Jesus was impressed. He wondered in concluding the parable if he would find faith on earth. In the Canaanite woman, he found just that. His response, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." All of this makes Jesus sound like the judge in his parable. The Canaanite woman is much like the widow. Persistently, both women pleaded their cases and received what it was that they needed. Jesus is like the judge in that he eventually relented, though he always knew he would. But he is more than the judge because he acts out of love for his fallen creation and not merely for his own self-interest and desire to be left alone. Sometimes people need not only a story, such as a parable, but also an object lesson in order for the lesson to be understood. In the Canaanite woman, the disciples got the object lesson that Jesus was trying to teach in the parable, that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That is how faith works. This is what faith does. Jesus commands that you should pray. By faith, that's what you do. Persistently, right? Do you? Okay, so there are a number of names which are repeated at the altar here. Those who have asked for our prayers for one reason or another. All manner of prayers are said at the altar. But beyond the mention here, do you remember them in your own prayers? Are all manner of prayers spoken at your home, in your car, at your office, or when you're just milling about? What is your life of prayer like? Many pastors are the first to tell you that they would love to improve and increase their time and devotion in prayer. I would be no different, but I suspect that is much the same for all of you. Not because I'm a pastor and you're lay people, which somehow makes me different from you, but because you and I are all people who suffer the same kinds of afflictions, not the least of which is not praying enough or spending enough time in devotion and meditation on the Word of God. And I would assert that it has become increasingly difficult in these latter days to attend to regular, frequent prayer, and this for a myriad of reasons. First, these latter days are further removed from the visible, manifest presence of Jesus and the obvious miracles of God, such as feeding so many people with so little food, walking on water, healing the sick, or even rising from the dead. It's been nearly 2,000 years since God has revealed the word to a prophet or an apostle. The apparent silence from God is deafening enough to deter many people who would and do otherwise believe in Jesus, despite his hidden appearances among them in word and sacrament, and his promise to be among them wherever two or more are gathered in his name. If this is you, then let the Canaanite woman be a lesson for you. Remember that she first approached Jesus in prayer, addressing him by messianic title, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." When Jesus responded with silence, she persisted. May your faith be strengthened to persist in prayer even when you do not hear God's response. Second, there is increasing pressure to regard your prayer as illegitimate. More and more you find yourself living in a society that ridicules you for talking to Jesus. You might even recall recently a talking head in the media publicly ridiculed the vice president because he admitted talking to Jesus and believed, at least in some small part, that Jesus responds to him one way or another. In fact, she practically likened prayer, and prayer specifically to Jesus, to mental illness. In these latter days, it grows increasingly harder to have a faith on display for people to see, to be seen praying in public, such as before a meal eaten out, for fear of being seen as mentally ill, especially when it hasn't been that long since such displays were tolerated or simply ignored. If this is you, then let the Canaanite woman be a lesson for you. Remember that she was seen as an outsider who should have no access to Yahweh and his Christ. Jesus' disciples urged him to send her away. Jesus even essentially told her that he wasn't sent to earth for Gentiles like her, though only to put her to the test for the sake of his disciples. In other words, her prayers were deemed to be illegitimate. But that didn't stop her. Even right in front of the disciples and any other lost sheep of Israel, she pleaded her case yet again. May your faith be strengthened to persist in prayer, even when you are told that your prayers are illegitimate and only mark you as one who is mentally ill. Third, there is an increasing pressure to regard your prayer as ineffective. Just over a week ago, the world was shocked yet again to hear of a mass shooting at a school. 17 people lost their lives in a senseless act of violence. In times such as these, the phrase thoughts and prayers usually make the rounds. There are often a few who denounce the phrase because nothing ever changes or appears to change with mere thoughts and prayers. This time, though, the cries have grown louder. I don't want your thoughts and prayers. I want change. Your thoughts and prayers aren't making any difference. Perhaps not. God does not hear your prayers and thoughts in order to grant your every desire and whim. In other words, even in light of any change, there will certainly be another mass shooting, and more thoughts and prayers, and more crying for change in place of thoughts and prayers. Still, to hear that voice grow increasingly louder can cause you to withdraw from saying that you would pray, or even to pray about it altogether. If this is you, then let the Canaanite woman be a lesson for you. In the face of being told that her prayer was ineffective because she's a Gentile, Jesus being sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, she persisted and showed the strength of her faith and resolve. All she needed was a scrap from the master's table, the removal of the demon oppression of her daughter, a simple word from the Word incarnate. The Son of David could do that. And for her persistence, granted by her by God-given faith, she received the answer to her prayer that she longed for. Her daughter was healed instantly. May your faith be strengthened to persist in prayer, even when you are told that your prayers are ineffective and useless. And there are many myriad other reasons why you might be lacking in a fuller life of prayer and devotion. Many reasons why you may be lacking in faith to persist in prayer. At the root of all of them is the sin with which you struggle as a new man in Christ. But take this to heart, dear baptized. You are a new creation. You are that new man in Christ. You are a part of the bride of Christ, the church, the new Israel. Jesus Christ has come for you and continues to come to you. You hear him in his word, even as it has been and is being read and proclaimed to you. In these words, Jesus is at work in you to give you forgiveness, life, and salvation. Furthermore, as you are marked with the sign of the cross in holy baptism, and there received faith in Christ and the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that faith is strengthened and your soul refreshed on the medicine of immortality, the very body and blood of your Savior, the Lamb of God and Son of David, Jesus Christ. And from this very altar, you receive again and again the forgiveness of your sins, life, and salvation. So like the father of the boy possessed by a demon that would make him convulse and throw him into fire and water to destroy him, when he confronts Jesus and responds, the man said to Jesus, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for the one who believes." The man then said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." The demon left the boy the command of Jesus. In fact, he even told the disciples at their confusion that this type of demon can only be cast out by prayer. You can say something similar. "Lord, I believe. Help my prayer." Yes, that is even a prayer. And yes, Jesus loves to hear that prayer. And yes, Jesus loves to answer that prayer. He even has given you a prayer to pray, especially in those times when you find it difficult to find the words. The Our Father. You have the Word of God on it, especially there in Mark 9, that prayer is most certainly effective. And from Matthew 6, as heard on Ash Wednesday, that prayer is most certainly heard. By faith, you can do all of these things. The new man loves to do these things, even when he doesn't know what to pray. It is all by faith in Christ, a faith which God has first given by his word and sacrament, and which he also sustains by his word and sacraments. It is a faith which cries out to God in prayer, even when it seems against all odds, even when you can't find the words, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, forgive my trespasses." Because you have obtained access by faith into this grace in which you stand, rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God, as you heard in today's epistle. Therefore, as it is written, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So you receive this answer to your prayer that works. In Christ crucified, risen and ascended, you are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.